We don't have a title for our podcast either. Maybe we should just call it Recollection.
Yeah.
Yeah, Recollection.
Or Recollecting Recollection.
That's such a curated title.
Recollecting Recollection, I do like it. Let's do that. This podcast episode, Recollecting Recollection, is a conversation between myself, artist Ellie Shipman, and curator Elita Robertson about our plans and the background to my practice in preparation for our show at St. Anne's House. Recollection is an investigation of where social practice sits in contemporary art, where participatory artworks created by myself over the last 12 years are recollected, regathered, and represented. In recollecting these artworks, often site-specific commissions which have never been seen in a gallery space, the exhibition provides a space for these pieces to breathe, to come together, and to share a conversation for the first time. I'm Ellie Shipman. I'm a visual artist interested in drawing out commonality between people through my practice spanning participation, textile, sculpture, and installation. My work explores themes of birth and new parenthood, community, and climate collapse. I studied my BA of Fine Art at Chelsea College of Art, UAL, and an MSc in Sustainable Development at UWE, and I'm now based in the studio at Bricks, Bristol in St. Anne's House.
I'm Elita Robertson, an MA curating student at UWE Bristol. I'm interested in sociology, new technologies, platform capitalism, and ethics. I met Ellie through my curatorial placement at Bricks, where Ellie's work epitomised many of our shared interests, like alternative documentation, the intersection of art and research, and navigating social practice in the contemporary gallery space. This led to me curating Ellie's exhibition as my final project for MA curating. Seeing as we met through Bricks, I was thinking we could talk about your relationship to them and to St. Anne's House.
Yeah, I met Jack Gibbon a couple of years ago and was part of the Bricks Associates program in 2020 when they did like an online associates thing through the pandemic. So I was part of like crit groups and we just had a few, we all did like different talks and stuff, and it was just a really nice way to get to know this sort of cohort of Bricks related artists. Bizarrely, I moved into the very floor of the office of St. Anne's House where I used to work at Bristol City Council. So I was there as a community development officer, and the floor that my studio is now on was our like whole neighbourhoods team. So it was very connected to working with people, working with communities.
That's so funny to think back and think of you like working in the office and like not knowing that in a, like, quite a short time really you'd be like doing a solo exhibition in this like beneath you.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, the gallery space as well, I didn't know that was gonna, you know, that was obviously like a new development for Bricks as well, so feels very kind of a lovely full circle.
Just because your kind of like ethos and like the work you do is so in keeping with like Bricks's values.
Yeah.
I guess it's nice that you had that relationship with them before you even were like a studio tenant.
Yeah, yeah. It was really nice. It felt really lovely to, yeah, be welcomed into that space. But I was definitely had them in my sights to do some projects with them anyway. And yeah, and now it's really exciting that it can be this exhibition Recollection, which was, you know, bringing together 12 years of artworks that I've made through participatory art and public art and different commissions in the space in that gallery for the first time. It feels like the right space for that exhibition, which is really exciting.
Well, seeing as we're talking about kind of the origins of the project and of like your career path, I was thinking we could talk about the earliest piece of your work that we are planning on featuring in the exhibition, and that is your degree show work. So I wanted to ask you what you learned from that first kind of big art project.
So yeah, the degree show piece, it was all about the cultural identity of Londoners and what it meant to be part of a community in London. I was exploring that as a student, feeling part of a very transient student community alongside the kind of vast, rapid urban regeneration that I was seeing across the city at the time. So in 2011, when I was planning my degree show, I was writing my thesis on the role of temporary public art in urban regeneration and looking at what makes a temporary public art project or a participatory project work well when it's really embedded with communities, when it's really considered, you know, it really considers the site and when it actually embeds people along the kind of design or creative process rather than just as a sort of add-on at the end. The degree show was basically an alternative London souvenir stall. I was really interested in what these souvenir stalls that you see across London selling, like Union Jack umbrellas and hoodies and, you know, all of that, what they represented and what version of London they showed to tourists. And then, you know, that there's local people kind of going about their lives, which that version of London, it maybe doesn't feel relevant. So I wanted to work with different community groups across Lambeth, where I was a resident at the time, and make alternative souvenirs to go on this stall. And the stall itself was a Victorian market stall that I hired from Lambeth Market and then dragged it over Lambeth Bridge to Chelsea with the help of some friends because it was really unruly. It's like a massive shopping trolley going in different directions. And yeah, I got it over the bridge and then exhibited it as an installation. They were things like umbrellas made with an older person's group, which had an alternative skyline of London drawn on by the older people. And then we did hoodies of things people hated about London. And then we had these kind of felt hats, you know, like those Union Jack hats. I kind of covered them in plain felt and then got people to redesign them. And this community group designed their favourite places in London on these hats. The other piece was a postcard stand of postcards that I'd made with another youth group I'd been volunteering with for about a year at that point, which was really nice to invite them in to be part of my degree show. And for that piece, we invited the group to take disposable cameras and go for a walk along London South Bank, where it's obviously like the London Eye and, you know, really famous buildings, and take photos of something a tourist wouldn't take photos of, to try and give them this quite playful brief to, you know, see London through their eyes. The photos they took were turned into postcards. The learning around that was I wanted to make art with other people. I wanted to be out of the studio space, out in the community, out in the city, and yeah, be doing this sort of more collaborative approach to art making, which to me felt richer, more engaging for me, and was just like a lovely way to meet so many different people and think about what community meant to them. Through the degree show, I developed this process and sort of approach to participatory art, which is getting to know a community group, doing this process of workshops in different mediums, and then combining all of that into a whole, which was maybe an installation or sculpture. And that kind of structure is still something I use a lot for the participatory projects. It's also really important that participants can see their own element in the final piece, so it's not abstracted from those initial workshop. If they've done drawings or poetry or mark making of some kind, some of those elements are in the final artwork. Mm-hmm. So they can actually have that ownership of the final thing as well.
Is there anything specific that you think you wish you'd kind of known at that point in time? Or like, what would you tell yourself? What were your like kind of biggest worries at that point?
I think I always thought I wouldn't be able to make enough money as an artist and wouldn't be able to be full-time freelance artist. I don't regret any of the jobs or like other projects I've done, because it's all informed my art practice and it's all been part of working with people, and my values have been embedded throughout all of those career choices anyway, working for charities, theatre companies, galleries, in education programs, that kind of thing. But I do wish I'd been a bit more confident in thinking that actually you can be a full-time freelance, and actually you can have a kind of multidisciplinary practice with different strands of income streams that doesn't have to be working part-time or working full-time and then squeezing in art around it. And actually, it's only really been this year, having received Arts Council's Developing Your Creative Practice funding, that's enabled me to actually say, what kind of artist do I really want to be? Which feels really exciting and feels a bit more on my terms rather than applying to commissions or briefs, which I'll still continue to do because I find that interesting. But making space to actually approach others with my own intentions and my own ideas for projects, yeah, and invite partners to come in to my initiatives.
But I did want to ask you about what kind of commissions you look out for and if there are any that you tend to avoid.
So commissions I look out for are things which are fairly paid. Mm-hmm. Which is a good starting point. But it's always a shame when you see a really interesting commission and then the day rates are not industry standard and, you know, not really livable on if you're freelance. So yeah, AN actually has a really good guide for day rates for artists, depending on like years out of university or years of experience, and yeah, the day rate that should go along with that. Looking for that kind of structured commission that actually acknowledges those industry standards and has a good structure to it, so allows enough time for engagement if it's a participatory project, rather than saying it's four workshops and then an exhibition or something. And also looking at the theme and the context, you know, if it's a commission that's exploring something particularly challenging or, you know, a difficult context and subject, it's really important to make sure that's enough time to get to know people as the outsider, as the artist, and make sure that you're not kind of being thrown into a community to kind of quickly engage them in some way, you know, as an add-on to a project or as a kind of way to use up a bit of funding, you know, which sometimes you can kind of get a sense of when you read the brief. So that's something I would try and avoid. But ones I go for are, yeah, ones which seem like they already have a relationship with communities. Perhaps it's researchers who already have been working with a set community group and want to visualize some of the research. Or perhaps it's a corporate organization who have a relationship with a community center and they want to do some kind of public art with the participants in the center. Or it's an arts organisation who are looking to commission a kind of art education project. So all of those kind of projects where they really know what it's like to engage communities already. And obviously the kind of standing of the organisation, if it's an arts organisation with a track record in social practice and that kind of thing, it's always good to work with those kind of people because they understand the value of this work and know they're going to consider it as important and value the work in itself.
From what you've just said, it kind of sounds like there are commissions or there are potential projects out there that just don't have solid context. So maybe authenticity is like quite a big element of all of these projects.
Yeah, I think authenticity is absolutely right. That relationship with the community, as I was just saying, that is a big part of authenticity. And for the commissioning body, the organization, to have that authentic relationship with communities to then invite an artist into is so important. And then the authenticity from my perspective as well, to actually come as my real self in that environment and be fully present in the workshops and bring like elements of my personal experience into it as well. Obviously, it's not always possible if you're working with communities that you might not have experience of what the subject is about. For example, a project I did around insecure housing and homelessness. I haven't experienced that myself. So it's just about bringing empathy and research and reading and being as open-minded and as, you know, as considerate to those people's experiences as you can be, and listening well, you know, being able to give time to what people want to share, and also to give, you know, enable people to choose not to share if they prefer. So I think it's just around, from my perspective, making an environment where people feel comfortable as possible and where I am being genuine.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, authenticity does, it runs through all of it.
So when we were talking about writing company texts and that kind of things, and even just like the foundations of the project, and for me initially understanding the type of work that you do, can you talk a little bit about the terms that you use and how you navigate those within your work and the, like, professional sphere?
Yeah, for me, social practice really summarizes having a social element to your work, whether that's hosting workshops, working with people, inviting people to add something to an installation or make their own mark on a piece in some way. Yeah, a lot of it is about an invitation to take part in something. But I think acknowledging that I still am designing that thing, even though there's elements of co-design or elements of participation. Yeah, the visual art is the overview, basically.
Do you think that participatory work and work with communities, this general practice, has become like more popular in the field, more normal?
Yeah, I think it has. It definitely seems to be more common now than it was when I was graduating in 2011. But it has, I mean, participatory practice has been around for many years, like, you know, probably since the 70s or earlier. But I think, yeah, I think participatory art can still be seen as a bit of an add-on by contemporary galleries. Often you see it in like the smallest little room of a gallery, or it's like alongside the main exhibition. And the main exhibition is usually an artist making something solo. Mm. So I think it's still not seen as, you know, equal to contemporary art of other formats and mediums. So I think it has a way to go still. And actually, it's a shame because I think, obviously, I'm all for it. And I think the kind of the richness and the opportunities that participatory work can bring are just endless. It's just incredible to work with people who might not identify as creative or might not as identify as artists, but through working in this way, it brings things out of people that are unexpected. I always just find it really enjoyable and rich, but it does have to be done in a very considered way. And I think, yeah, sometimes it is a bit of a bolt on, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe we can talk about how some of the projects we've been gathering have been in various forms of storage. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, obviously, we went to the record office in Bath. So it was really cool to see everything like preserved so well and so much care being taken with it and things. Yeah. But that isn't always the case.
That's true.
And how have you felt like tracking down the works, and what is it telling of from your perspective?
It's a really big theme for this exhibition. Obviously, in the title, Recollection, it's all about regathering works from these participatory projects. Yeah, obviously, working with archives is a big win for preserving work. And it's really lovely that a big part of that project was that those voices have been excluded from archives and from being preserved, of just the voices of residents, basically talking about housing. And so that they're in the archives now means that researchers in the future can see what, you know, what local people thought about housing in Bath at the time. And it's amazing to see them so kind of carefully wrapped with their little bows and being really neatly preserved. But yeah, I would say that's quite unusual for a participatory project, because often they're works that are made for community centres or for universities or other arts organisations, where the works are made for an event or made for, you know, a sharing of some kind or a walk. I often gift the works to the community centres or those involved so they can be reused. For example, textile banners about a local area might be used for other community events, which I really liked for that work to have a legacy and to have, you know, for it to be able to live on in that community. But obviously it does mean that they can be just in a store cupboard somewhere or just kind of hidden away in someone's office, or yeah, trying to track works down through a university that, you know, where I've made them years ago. It's been quite a challenge, but they've all turned up. They've all turned up now. But yeah, it's interesting. And then other works which are made to be on permanent display, so permanent public artworks which are obviously just out in the public realm. Like there's an art trail that I did in Radstock of love letters to the town, and they're all on aluminium boards around the town as a permanent trail. And in London, a big kind of aluminium quilt panel for a project called the Time Capsule Project. That's still up on a wall in a garden in an AGK day centre in London. So presumably those would just need a bit of a wipe down. But in terms of collecting them and showing them as part of this exhibition, I now need to think of ways of visualising a permanent public art project that was also participatory, that, you know, has documentation in terms of photos and participants' work and drawings and writing. But yeah, this exhibition is going to be a real process of trying to visualize that and see what they actually all look like when they come together. I feel like they're like little children that have been living apart in different locations for many years, and they're going to have a big family reunion.
How have you found the process of looking back on your career?
Oh, it's been really nice. I've really enjoyed it. It's been, yeah, quite magical, really, to give myself the time to look back, because I think, you know, as artists, as freelancers, as creatives, like we're always looking to the next thing, the next job, the next project, you know, trying to bring in money, trying to kind of work with different people. So it's been really nice to use this as an opportunity to reflect on the journey of these projects and how they all interconnect, you know, these different themes that have come up in them over the years and how my practice has changed at key points in my life, you know, like I lived in Vietnam for a year in 2019. And that was a really good opportunity to work on lots of different sculptures and ran exhibitions and did residencies and had a kind of break from facilitating projects in this way. But again, that led to still doing participatory things like bringing in other people to exhibit together and, yeah, and hosting and designing exhibitions at a much larger scale than I'd had the opportunity to do before. And other kind of turning points was starting to work with fabricators. So a lot of these artworks, you know, you can see in the exhibition works where I've started to work with fabricators in wood and metal. And it's just enabled my practice to expand in different directions to what I was able to do with my own skills, which was usually installations or textiles or kind of, yeah, drawing and that kind of thing. And then also themes of what I've been interested in learning. I love learning. I'll learn anything. And a big part of that was learning pattern design. So when I was in Vietnam, I had the time to really delve into learn the proper process of designing repeat patterns for wallpaper and fabric. And I'd already been working with pattern in my art practice anyway, but that was a big turning point in actually knowing how to put patterns together technically well and use Illustrator properly and all of that kind of thing. Because previous artworks, the Time Capsule project, which was 6x2 meter aluminium panel made of, it looked like a tumbling block quilt pattern made of participants' drawings as individual patterns. And that those are not repeat patterns. I put those drawings together in a repeat design by hand, learning Illustrator for the first time on that project. So it was, yeah, rather time consuming. So yeah, it's been really nice to, yeah, just kind of gather those skills and sort of consolidate those themes in my work. And also just thinking about the next stages of my career and what I want to look towards now. And, you know, I want to kind of bring pattern with me on that journey because it's just such a lovely way to bring in participants' hand. You know, I can translate a pen drawing someone's done on just a bit of paper into an image traced digital drawing that can then blow up into any scale or be repeated any amount of times and become something really visual and really, you know, with a real impact in the project. The Philwood Fabric project was a really lovely way of bringing in residents' patterns that they could just draw on a flyer that was spread out around the area, inviting people to respond to what they imagined as the past, present and future of Philwood, which is an area in South Bristol. And those little drawings that people just did on a simple flyer were then digitally traced, made into repeat patterns, and then printed as fabric and wallpaper, made into a swatch book as an open source series of designs that people could then download and print their own fabric from if they wanted to. And then a whole load of the fabric was given to the media centre, Knowist Media Centre, for them to use on other community projects and as kind of a sort of community pattern archive. So I love that kind of thing. And I want to bring that into my career going forwards to actually see residents mark making and words and drawings in pattern. It's as part of wallpaper. The other thing I really love about pattern is that it gives me solo practice time away from facilitating projects. And I love that balance of actually having a workshop process and time with other people and making together and collecting these things. But then I think I'm like 50% introvert, extrovert, and I need my alone time as well. So I need to kind of retreat into the studio and have time to design up the patterns and to do my own kind of drawing and design work in each project as well. And to kind of keep my own hand in the work, because I think, you know, as an artist, even working in a participatory way, I still want to be present in the work and, you know, and have that, you know, creative structure to what it ends up being.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to most about the exhibition, actually?
I'm really looking forward to the opening, if yeah. I'm being truly honest. I'm really looking forward to sharing this body of work with the wider community across Bristol and hopefully beyond. I'm really looking forward to seeing these artworks in the space together for the first time. As I said, they've literally never met each other. So I'm looking forward to introducing the artworks to each other and just seeing them in the same space. I mean, I've never seen them in the same space before. So I think it'll be really lovely to visually see the themes kind of running through through the show. I'm really looking forward to installing it with you and actually working through the curation and working through the kind of zoning of the space and, you know, what we want to say with each sort of section of the show. Yeah, and just seeing that gallery space, you know, come to life as a new exhibition. It's always amazing seeing different artists exhibit there. I've always loved the other shows that have been on there. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to being part of that kind of trajectory of this developing gallery space as well.
Do you want to try and describe your vision for Recollection in three words?
Okay, let's see. Three words for Recollection. I think it would be sharing, regathering, obviously, and joy. I hope it's just a really joyful show. Yeah. And I hope it really, yeah, I hope it really brings people joy seeing these different works and the amount of effort and work that's gone into them by the communities that have been involved in these works over many years. You know, this is 12 years of work. Yeah, seeing them all connect to each other. I can't wait. Yeah.
A theme of the show is probably your like transitions within your practice. And yeah, I think we've kind of realized that like that's a definite theme is your new stuff, which is really exciting to be able to kind of feature that and pilot a piece of a new project. Mm. So can you tell us a bit more about the newer works and that pilot?
This year with the DYCP funding, I was able to take a bit of a break from hosting participatory projects and working on commissions and have time to reflect on what it was that I really wanted to initiate with my own practice. As still a relatively new mother, I had a baby 2 years ago, and that was a big, obviously, life-changing moment, as many people will testify. So a lot of my new work is bringing more of my own personal experience into my work and having time to think through ideas through residencies where I've been working on collage pieces and sculptural installations, but then using those kind of first works along a theme, as it were, to then lead into and inform a participatory project. And that process has been so lovely to have that time alone, kind of thinking through ideas on residencies. That really enabled me to test out some installations and sculptural works and build up this kind of pilot format for an installation called Happy Birthdays. And that piece is going to be a birth-themed birthday party, which will be inviting 10 other people who've experienced birth together. I will take part as a participant as well, because I think it's really important to be kind of fully embedded in the work. And that piece will be a shared kind of conversation around birth experiences from different perspectives over a shared meal of birthday cake in the shape of a placenta, a giant placenta, red jelly and glasses of milk. And then the tablecloth is a kind of gingham tablecloth with different words that were collected through another installation called How Was the Birth? And these words, one word answers to this question contributed by different birthing people. The tablecloth is just a way of kind of showing the diversity of the birth experience. It's just such a broad spectrum from joy to trauma and everything in between. And I just think it's really important to share that message through these artworks and through this participatory event to just show the absolute differences of these experiences. I mean, people say expect the unexpected, which is true, but very annoying to hear when you're pregnant with your first child, and that just means nothing really. So I'm hoping to, through this work, to show that there are things to expect, and they are a very broad range. The other residency I did during this time was with a placement in industry with a company called Limbs and Things, which are a Bristol-based company based just down the road from my house in Barton Hill. and they make medical simulation training models for clinicians and surgeons and midwives, things like baby kind of delivery models to train on like different delivery techniques. They have all sorts of amazing silicon body parts in their factory where I was based for 6 weeks. And it was just incredible to see the, yeah, just the kind of medical knowledge and care that's going into creating these products, which are really uncanny and quite alarming to look at, but also have a really powerful quality to them in that they're actually being used to be as realistic as possible for surgeons and midwives and others to, yeah, to be able to not have to train people on real humans and real birthing people and mothers. So yeah, they're incredible, incredible things. And they were kind enough to give me some damaged products to use in artwork. So those are part of this exhibition as well. On the Expect the Unexpected, that's also the title of a series of collages that I made very early in the year, actually at my old studio. And again, it was just trying to give myself time in the studio to explore my own ideas and not to lead to a project or be applying for commissions and things, and actually give myself that space. And these collages just sort of emerged from that. And they are these sci-fi looking, roughly A3 sized series of 8 collages with this kind of spacey background of this amazing illustrations from a book from the 1970s, which was all about the kind of future of space travel that they were expecting at the time. And then combined with these images of women at antenatal birth groups in the 50s from a book on childbirth. And so it was really interesting to kind of splice these images together. At first, it felt to me like these women in these space scenes were really isolated and kind of alone in their pregnancy and in their kind of preparation for birth. But then as I made more and more of them and just these images just sort of found each other, you know, it was almost like it was just working through me. I wasn't very conscious even of what I was really doing, which is kind of magical. These images kind of found each other. And as I made more, they became more and more powerful. And it felt like these women were part alien, part goddess, you know, and we're really being revered by these like tiny little astronauts in the other image. So yeah, they became really quite special pieces. And that was early work made earlier this year that's led to the residencies, that's led to using collage more, made a whole collage series at LIMS and things as well. And then those collages have led to installations and then eventually to this participatory project. So that kind of process is something that I've been, yeah, really enjoying this year and want to do more of. It's just having that time to percolate yeah, these themes yeah, and bring more of myself into the finished work.
Like going back to what you were saying earlier about commission projects, having time to like really get to know people and having that really solid foundation and stuff. Mm. It's almost like you're kind of deepening that ethos in your own work and taking like context and taking more of your experience into your work and make it, and it's still participatory and stuff. It's really like interesting.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. Yeah, that's really nice to hear. I really, yeah, that feels very important and yeah, a big learning thing that I've realized this year. But yeah, that's a really nice comparison because it's basically like getting to know me as the community as part of this work. It's really important to have that time to, yeah, to get to know the themes and to reflect on it.
Mm. Yeah. And even just like the whole exhibition again, like it's the same kind of thing of taking a step back and thinking about the context, thinking about yourself and your place in your practice. Sounds obvious, but...
No, I think it's not obvious. I think, yeah, we really can like rush forwards, and I'm definitely like a rusher. I love like doing things quickly and getting on to the next thing all the time. So it is really important to... Yeah, to have that time to look back. Yeah.
You know, also, it's like the whole exhibition is very much about looking forward as well. Mm-hmm. I think we've like called it like a launch pad for the new, like whatever comes next. What do you, like, can you give us any like hints or like ideas about what you think might come next after this? So, I mean, that's quite overwhelming. Yeah. Obviously, this is quite a big thing to do
this
first.
This is the next thing. It is a big moment of gathering these works together and thinking about what elements of all of them that I've really enjoyed that I want to kind of combine together into future projects. So a main one that I'm hoping to develop further at the moment is the Happy Birthdays installation. Plans are currently to work with two researchers from the University of Bristol who are both exploring the birth experience from NHS archives over the last like 50 years. So they're particularly interested in contemporary birth experiences as well. And I'm hoping to run this kind of birthday party event in different community settings with different charity partners in NHS settings as well, and looking for funding to make that a kind of bigger scale project for next year. So that's a big thing that I'm currently kind of developing. And then I'm also hoping to do more work in health settings. So I'm hoping to bring in elements of participatory design, bringing in pattern to develop wallpaper and soft furnishings for hospital spaces, which is really exciting because that feels like a very kind of full circle thing as well of, yeah, having the workshops and the processes that I've described, but then enabling an installation that's actually functional and usable and hopefully will have a positive impact on people in health settings that aren't necessarily in an art space.
Yeah.
So that's really important as well to kind of, yeah, engage with non-art spaces. And then a third kind of aim and ambition for next steps is to work in more contemporary art spaces as well and actually have these participatory and sculptural and other projects seen as kind of alongside other contemporary art, and looking into having a space for these projects to go after the commission's been finished, but also after they're no longer in use by the communities that they've been involved with. It taught me a lot about provenance of artworks where, you know, in the contemporary art world, paintings and sculptures and, you know, kind of physical objects have, you know, their whole archive and their whole record of where they've been made and who's owned them and where they've been loaned from and where they're passed on to, along with every work. And I really need to start recording that for my work and treating it as an artwork, you know, because often I've just thought, you know, oh, it's just a project and it's just elements of a project and they can just be, you know, dissipated wherever. But actually, it's also about like me taking that seriously and thinking of it as these individual artworks, which, yes, they can be used and functional for other reasons. But actually, just keeping an eye on them and keeping track of them is really important so that they can maybe come and meet again one day in another format.
Oh, I like that.
We hope you've enjoyed this conversation between Elita and I, and we really hope you can come and join us at the show Recollection, Regathering Social Practice, a solo show by myself, Ellie Shipman, curated by Elita Robertson in partnership with Bricks. The show will be on at St Anne's House in Brislington, Bristol, from the 2nd till the 11th of November 2023.